you got Yokozuna, you got Rikishi, you got the Godfather, you got the Godwins, Savio, Brian Adams, and myself all walking into the bar. They're just like, yeah, let's just go ahead and let them guys in.
Yeah, there's no bouncer that's going to stop.
Yeah, at that point, yeah, it ain't
that
worth
crew.
Yeah, that $15 an hour, whatever he was making that night, wasn't worth
it. It wasn't worth
no.
Can we do a Ric Flair episode soon?
Are you going to get Rick in here?
Gosh, that would be... I'm going to be honest with you.
You usually are fairly honest with me when it comes to your boy crush here.
I don't know. I don't know what I would do. There's not very many people I geek out about. I think it would be hard for me to. It would be difficult. It'd be a rough day.
Have you not met him in the flesh yet?
Never.
I put him on FaceTime with you or something, didn't I?
You made a video for my brother who was retiring from the military after 30 years.
Yes.
You got him to do a video, but I've never met him. I've never been around him. None of that.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
You know what? Maybe if you were a little nicer to me, I could make that happen.
Well,
really?
I don't know.
What is that?
Well, now it's like a man. I've got to start weighing out my options here. Is it worth being nice to you to get to meet
Woo.
The greatest wrestler of all time? I've got to figure that out.
Really?
Yeah.
Of all time?
Oh, yeah. You're the greatest character, but
I'm the greatest character.
Yeah.
I'm the greatest character.
You're the greatest character of all time. It's Flair, I mean... You got to admit.
You know, bring Flair on, though, or even introduce you to Flair, you're going to have to drink. I'm just saying.
You want to try a new flavor?
What you got?
You like lemon lime?
Mm-hmm.
We can dig in here for some lemon lime. Well, happy dad. Lemon lime hard seltzers here. You know, they did a collab with Snoop Dogg.
Did they really?
Yeah. You should have wore your Snoop Dogg chain. Death Row.
Hey, brother. I'm an official member. Death Row.
Is he a BSK member?
No. No.
Would he have been a BSK member?
I don't know, man. Maybe.
Oh,
he has all the credentials.
If he doesn't make the cut.
He'd make the celebrity wing. I mean, yeah, he would definitely make the celebrity wing of BSK.
All right. I'll try you.
There
see
is
the wild
no celebrity
cherry.
Wing of BSK though, but
there is.
I would make one for him.
You'd make one for him.
Yeah.
Who else would fall into the celebrity wing of BSK Bond Street Crew here?
All right, so we got. Well, I mean, he was dead a long time ago, but I mean, Elvis would have been BSK.
Okay,
easily.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kid Rock.
Kid Rock definitely would be.
He falls in that category. Yeah.
I think Jelly Roll.
Jelly Roll could.
Jelly Roll.
How about Gronk?
Gronk?
He was over the top though.
He's a little bit of, he might have been more click material.
I was about to say, is he a DX guy? Is he a click material?
I think he might have been a more click.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gronk's a fun dude, though.
BSK material, though, is it more of a, we're going to go carve out a corner, and we're going to sit around, drink some beers, drink some Jack Daniels, and be with the boys, and...
Yeah, that was our thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't wild, crazy,
no,
over the top.
No. I mean, there were a few occasions where things get a little bit out of hand, but for the most part, no, we just sat down, had a good time. We drank and just shot the every night. it wasn't about. No, we didn't go out to be seen or go out and raise hell.
Yeah,
few times I had to get the Godwins out of some trouble, but other than that,
yeah, they acted.
Well, they just they're silly. They get drunk and they get silly.
Mark was texting us during WrestleMania weekend.
He was. I wish I'd have got to see him. He's a good dude. But obviously I was slammed, and he left on Sunday. I wish he'd come by the suite. Yeah. That'd have been.
He texted me, "Hey man, getting out of here on Sunday or whatever." And yeah. I think he's going to try to come to Savannah for a little long weekend or something like that. Really? Yeah, a little vacation.
We're talking about Henry Godwin.
Yeah, Henry Godwin. Yeah.
Mark Canterbury. Yeah, he's a good dude, man.
And speaking of BSK, I think he's grown some organic. medicine.
Yeah, you know, I'm the only one off that train. Tex Phineas, I got one. He's had some health issues, man.
Bro, I texted him before WrestleMania, and I was like, "Hey, man, you're going to be in Philly. You know, if you're going to be around, love to see you. All that stuff, right?" And dude, he texted me like a couple days later. I almost died.
Yeah.
It was like I was in ICU for 2 days.
I'm surprised he even texted me to let me know because, you know, I always
bust his balls.
There's some people that really
deservingly so. Yeah.
Some people want, you know, that sympathy, like, "Oh man, are you okay?" That's it. No. It's, you know, when he lost his toes.
Would you call him Dolphin? You called him Dolphin? No.
So he lost a couple of freak accidents, and then he had, I don't know if he's diabetic or he should be. He ended up losing all of his toes on one foot, and I could tell by his, you know, you read into things into text anyway, but I could tell, like, he was, you know, he was feeling sorry for himself. Yeah. So he ends up sending me a picture of his toeless foot. He's still in the hospital.
He sent that to me. And I was just like, "Why are you sending this to me?"
And I didn't say anything bad. I just sent back a little meme of Flipper. That's what it looked like. It looked like a Flipper. So I sent back Flipper. You know, it made him smile. It made me smile.
Are you sure it made him smile?
Oh, I'm not sure it made
his
him smile.
His feelings were hurt, probably.
But it made me laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Look, hey, let me tell you something. Let me tell you. Wait. He's caused me a lot of grief in my lifetime. And I'm still, to this day, I don't know who put his card on the table anyway.
Yeah, I mean, If you look at the credentials of BSK, that's the one that, you know, it makes you scratch your head. Not that
he's loyal. He's loyal to a T.
And he, whenever you guys were running hard, I imagine he had things that a lot of guys would like to partake in.
He loved to partake in things.
Yes, absolutely. So, Henry Godwin texting at WrestleMania, and then, you know, you got Midian, who's losing his foot, and, you know, apparently he's in ICU, you know, and he wasn't able to make it or anything like that, and it's
he's so soft.
No,
well, I mean,
and
I mean, he had a whole week to recover.
So Henry posted a picture. I mean, it was a mini BSK reunion. I mean, it was.
Yeah, Godfather was there. Rikishi was there. Savio Vega was there. The only ones that weren't there were me and Tex were the only ones that weren't in the picture.
Yeah.
That are still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man. Speaking of BSK, I watched the WWE biography about Yoko. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
I have not seen it yet.
Yeah. It was good. I learned a lot about him in that documentary.
And talking about a good dude, man. He was, man.
Yeah.
He's good dude. I enjoyed, man. And I enjoyed working with him. And he was just so, he defied what your eyes could comprehend. Yeah. I mean, nobody that size should have been able to do the things that he could do when he first came up. It was just like, there's no way he can move like that. And he sure could, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he could throw the, what Sean calls it, sweet chin music, the super kick. Some people call it a savat kick. I mean, he could just flat out get it up there, man. He was so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Do you feel like with him that he felt maybe obligated to be that size? I mean, like for that character, like it was almost a...
I don't know. I mean, he was, when he came in, four twenty or something like that. But at 4'20", he could still move like a cat.
Yeah.
I think it was just he got over making money. I think just our, excessive lifestyle.
Yeah.
Kind of caught up a little bit, I think, more so than anything. I mean, I was living in Nashville, and we were having a show in Nashville, and he shipped a cooler. I don't know. What's the big ones?
It's like a 45 quart or something.
It was huge.
Yeah.
He mailed from L.A. He lived in L.A. He mailed a cooler to me full of turkey tails. Have you ever had turkey tails?
No. I don't even know what a turkey tail is.
It's the ass of a turkey. But so there's just a minuscule amount of like meat.
Okay.
The rest of it's just fat.
Okay.
And he shipped this to my house. So I lived in Nashville at the time. We worked in Nashville. And then after the show, everybody went to my house, right? The whole BSK is represented, right? So my house was built on the side of a hill. Like my backyard just went.
Yeah.
So we're sitting on the back deck. You got something to do?
No. Message come through.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. But anyway. So you got this cooler full of turkey tails, turkey al cuore. And he grills them up. And I kid you not, inside the cooler was a thing of mayonnaise like that.
Oh, my gosh.
And... He's grilling these turkey tails up, and they're dipping them in mayonnaise, and they're eating them, and they're throwing the bones off the back of my deck. It's just nothing but turkey fat. Does it taste good?
Oh, I would imagine.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd imagine it's amazing.
Even with the mayonnaise on it. And I'm not a mayonnaise guy, but, I mean, it was just like, yeah. So man. That kind of... kind of diet is not real conducive to
longevity,
staying lean or keeping your weight down. But wow. Yeah. What a good dude.
And the documentary was a very positive light too, in the sense of how his, he seemed like a very nice, positive guy, fun loving, in the locker room, and seemed like a family man. And I mean,
he was a good dad, and he didn't like waiting in lines though.
I don't like waiting in lines.
No. Yeah, he didn't wait in lines
for anything.
No. We'd just fall right in behind him. We go up to like I remember being. I think we were up in Moncton or somewhere up in far east Canada.
Yeah.
And we're waiting to get, there's a big long line out the bar. And he was like, "No, Marcus,
let's go."
Like, this line. we just walk right through it, and bouncers would be like, just watch each one of us walk by.
I mean, you got to think about it. At the time, you're what, 6'8"? 320.
And this is all of us.
All BSK?
All of us are there. Yeah.
What are you going to say?
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, you got Yokozuna, you got Rikishi, you got the Godfather, you got the Godwins, Savio, Brian Adams, and myself all walking into the bar. They're just like, yeah, let's just go ahead and let them guys in.
Yeah, there's no bouncer that's going to stop.
Yeah, at that point, yeah, it ain't
that
worth
crew.
It. Yeah, that. $15 an hour, whatever he was making that night, wasn't worth.
It wasn't worth the money.
No, not at all. Oh, my goodness. I remember one night we were, I think we were in the Philippines or something like that. And you know it's a good night back then when the Godfather would get up on stage and sing the blues with a band. Ooh. Like, dude, he'd hit a blues note, and, man, he'd get up there.
Can he sing?
The blues? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good, right? And this particular night, we're in this high-rise hotel, really nice, real bougie hotel, and they invited us up, and, you know. And we weren't rowdy. Like, we weren't, we weren't, like, really boisterous. Like, we weren't messing with people. We weren't, you know, we were spending a lot of money on booze, as okay. we always did. We all may or may not have come out of our shirts, but I mean, it's hot in the Philippines.
Including Yoko.
Yeah, all of us. Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's scary, right?
Yeah.
And Godfather up on stage singing the blues.
Shirtless.
Yeah.
Barrel chested.
Just big barrel sweating. Like, it was, but.
Did he have the hat on?
He did have a hat on. I'm pretty sure he had a hat on. And, yeah, they had roped us off a nice little section, and we were stayed in our section and didn't mess with anybody.
Okay. But,
and I mean, I could probably say we probably spent as much money as the rest of the entire bar spent. I mean, they asked us not to come back. I don't know why. I mean, we didn't beat anybody up.
Y'all
were
destructive. I mean, all the stories I've ever heard from any of the guys that's in BSK, it was your tight-knit group. No one else was essentially, I mean, people would come hang out with you, but this is y'all.
Yeah.
They're doing your thing.
Yeah.
Carving out a corner of a bar and just drinking, having a good time.
Yep.
And, I would imagine typically if there was someone invited, they were maybe of the opposite sex, and maybe
there's no pictures.
No, just good conversations is what it is. So the celebrity wing would be Snoop, Kid Rock, and Jelly Roll would fall in there.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a three solid members right there. I tell you what, Morgan Wallen's pleading his case.
Okay, I can't have anybody throwing chairs now. I can't, you know.
Hold on, you can't have it. Do you not remember Godfather in Savannah? Well, you don't remember.
I remember everything that night.
He threw some chairs that night.
Maybe I don't remember everything then.
Yeah,
what did he throw chairs for?
It was at the end of the night, and he, I'm trying to get you guys out of there, and, you know, there's me and my brother and Andy, and we're trying to get you guys out. And all of a sudden, you got Godfather over here folded chairs, and he throws one across the room. And I was like, Bear, what are you doing, man? Oh, and some type of gibberish come out of his mouth. And all of a sudden, you know, next thing I know, we're in the car. And
weed's the best thing that ever happened to him.
And he's yelling at you. You're in the back seat.
Why y'all put me in the back? Bro, the tallest one of all of us.
Bear got in the front. The funniest part was Bear got in the front. You get in the back, and he leans the seat all the way back.
He ain't right, man.
So, yeah, that's alcohol for you. It brings out great times. No one talks about the good times of sitting around sober and...
that's true.
Chatting about politics,
we don't chat about
that's
politics.
No fun. So, you know, thank you, Happy Dad. Cheers to BSK.
BSK.
Yeah. Cheers to your boys there.
Mm.
Something I thought was kind of funny over WrestleMania weekend, and I wanted to kind of ask you about this, and you can divulge as much as you want without, necessarily, I don't think there's going to be anything negative said about this guy, but you made a comment during the Bray Wyatt panel to Barry Windham, and he's like, "You taught me some bad habits on the road." And as a Barry Windham fan,
okay,
I need to hear your relationship with Barry Windham, because
so okay, well, all right, this will all make sense, perfect sense to you.
So Mark, you know, you picked up the rock and you choke slammed him, and it takes a little bit of strength.
He's thick, yeah.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, he's a big dude, man.
So that must mean that you've been working out.
Yeah, I have been. Thanks for noticing.
Building up, I see that. You've slimmed down, but yet you've also bulked up a little.
You know.
Got a little bit of both, and that's good.
Got a little both going on.
But yep. I also know how you are.
What?
Getting you going is not the easiest thing.
No. It's still, you know, that's still a daily challenge. But that right there, that's
your boy, the ticket right
here, man. I swear by this stuff. I talk about anybody who works out and needs a pre-workout, this is it, man. Ignition comes in a bunch of different flavors. Just, hey, if I take it, I work out. I can promise you that. It is, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, because, you know, I don't have to work out anymore if I don't want to.
Yeah.
But I know it's what I should do. And some days my discipline is not quite what it should be. Get me a couple scoops of Ignition, brother, and get out of the way.
Yeah.
Because there are going to be some weights lifted.
And I know that, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, you're just doing this because they're a sponsor. But, you know, you've told me before you've never really been a big supplement guy until mm-mm. First Form actually sent you some products. And you've had a lot of other companies send you products. But this is the first company that you're like, I actually really do like their stuff. And you actually use their stuff.
Yeah, I actually do use their stuff. I mean, the proteins... you know what? The proteins taste good. But you know, a lot of, you know, companies pre-workouts and stuff like that, they either get you too jittery or you get nothing at all. This right here is like, I mean, it's motivation in a can. And it's just part of my, it's part of my everyday,
routine now
is to get some Ignition in me. And then, 20 minutes later, I'm training.
You're ready to go.
Ready to go.
Well, if you too want to get some Ignition and be able to get a pump that will help you also choke slam a Hall of Fame wrestler.
That's it.
Just go to the link in our description below, pick yourself up some First Form, and you too can get on that train and get some of this in your blood system there.
Yep. You got it. You gotta try some.
I do need to. Yeah, I need to. Yeah, I feel like.
So I wasn't cracking on you. I mean, you just need to try some.
If I did, if I took First Form, could I look like you?
No.
Not even First Form could help me get there.
No, you're gonna need more help than even that. It would be a great start, though.
They are going to.
That would be a great start for you to start taking First Form products, and then. You might need to do more than drive by the gym. You might actually need to pull into the parking lot.
I've got a membership. All right. So our fans out there, before Mark makes me cry, go to the link in our description. Pick yourself up some First Form. We really appreciate their support for the podcast. Thank you very much, First Form.
So I go to WCW.
Yeah.
I ain't got a pot or a window, right? But now I'm making a little bit of money so that I can not only eat, but occasionally I can go out.
Yeah.
Like, cause I wouldn't go out. Like if I couldn't take a drink for somebody, like if I couldn't buy a drink for somebody.
Yeah.
Right. So I would have to pick and choose my spots. Well, this particular time, Barry and Flair or, you know, they're hand in hand.
Yeah. Barry's part of the Four Horsemen at this point.
At this point, Barry's part of the Four Horsemen. So, yeah, I mean, that's just, they all go hand in hand with what, you know, what's going on there. So, you know, Rick and, I guess you could throw Rick and Barry in there as far as probably drinking too much. And
that's not like Flair at all.
No. You know, staying out late and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But Barry had he was very influential. And, I mean, obviously, you know, Barry was a, I mean, you know, watching him work, you know, I watched him work a lot too, because, you know, Barry was like 6'6".
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He was a big guy, but he moved like a little guy, which was kind of like what I was trying to, you know, what I was trying to do was kind of be a athletic big guy. So, you know, obviously I watched Barry's work a lot because, you know, I like the way he worked. But, yeah, it was the stuff that really stuck with me through the years was, yeah, it was probably the nightlife.
The out-of-the-ring guy.
Yeah, the out-of-the-ring kind of stuff that really stuck with me. That was what I was referring to.
Yeah.
We had more than one or two beers together. Early on,
he seems like a fun guy to have beers with. He just seems like a, you know, the uncle or the dad, you know, that's from Kentucky that wants to sit down and drink cold beer with everyone.
Yeah. Except back then, he wasn't the uncle or the dad. He was still he was still the young guy there.
Yeah,
yeah. I was just the extremely young guy. He was, you know, he was still in his prime.
Was it especially then? Going out like that and having a beer with a guy like a Barry Windham, was it almost kind of like if you didn't go out and have those beers with the boys, was there, not saying that they wouldn't have respect for you or not work with you, but was it like that was how you built that camaraderie, was sitting around and drinking a beer with a guy like Barry Windham?
Yeah, yeah. That's how, you know, a lot of times – That's how people know whether they can trust you or not.
Yeah.
Because your true self, once alcohol gets involved, a lot of times, that's how the true self's going to pop out.
Yeah.
And, and you can't go somewhere like that. Like, you can't go to a bar, you can't go to a restaurant or something like that, and everybody else is drinking and you not drink. And it's not even peer pressure. This is wrestler mentality, the old school wrestling mentality. Was he some kind of stooge? Is he an office stooge? Was he spying on us? Is he trying, you know? So you've got that comfort level with your, you know, the people that you worked with by hanging out and just being normal, really.
Yeah.
But no, I don't ever remember, like, on the nights I didn't, or wasn't able to go out, you know, no one, you know, like, hey, we missed you last night, kid, or what was going on, but it wasn't anything like, why don't you drink every night? Yeah, I was just, I can't afford it, that's why I don't drink.
Why aren't you getting hammered? I don't,
I'm at the point now where I can't drink every night. I can eat every day.
Yeah, that's a plus.
It's better, you know.
Yeah, things are getting better.
There was days where I couldn't eat every day.
But she's in nutrition now, everything.
And alcohol's just a bonus when I can, so.
Was it also, you know, you go to the, I imagine it's the hotel lobby bar a lot of times when you're on the road, but if you're down there and all of a sudden, do you just go up to a table that Barry Windham's sitting at, or is it more of a, when if Barry calls you to come sit down, like
at that point in my career, you just kind of you kind of wait to be invited.
Yeah.
Especially my early part there, like by the time that I left, I mean, I had built up relationships by the time I left WCW, but early on, it was early on. Hell, Danny didn't even invite me in the car to ride to town.
Your
to town.
Tag team partner.
My tag team partner didn't even ride. He was riding with Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and I was, you know, I was four deep in a Ford Escort with with Tommy Rich and Iron Sheik and Teddy Long. It took a while. Yeah, I had to earn Danny's trust.
That's your tag team partner.
That was my tag team partner.
You would think you guys would at least be in the car together.
You would
talk.
Think,
you could
right?
talk.
Like,
you could say,
get
hey,
to
man,
know
this,
me.
What
I'm
if,
a, yeah.
What
I'm
if we do this? What do you think about this? You know, no. You guys can't even go down the road together and discuss potentially the next match.
No. He didn't want any part of it. And I remember thinking, like, oh, you know, no, because I didn't have any money. I was like, it won't be an issue. I mean, I'll split trans with Danny. I'm sure we'll ride together.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he. I think once he asked me, he goes, "Who are you riding with?" And I was like, "I was just gonna get in with somebody." He goes, oh, "Okay."
Left. Who are you riding with? I don't really have a ride. Well, man, okay.
All right. Well, I'll see you at the building, man. Okay.
This is a Dumb and Dumber moment. Yeah, just like, man, your hands are cold. I got these two pairs of gloves I've been wearing.
Wow.
Mine are hot.
It was a, It was tough, tough, tough audience back then.
He gets in a minivan by himself. All right, we'll see.
Doc was with him. Yeah, him and
we'll
Doc.
See you there, pal.
It's like, crap. All right.
But no, and then on that same panel, you were sitting there with, you know, Mike Rotunda, the better known, I get to a lot of people's, the IRS.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the meme that was going around a while back was WWE really missed the opportunity to do a death and taxes with you and him as a tag team.
As a tag team. We worked a program against each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it wasn't bad. He could work, man. He was really good. Yeah, death and taxes that missed it somehow.
And I feel like, unfortunately for him, I don't know if that character was, like, the right character to be able to be, you know, and that was a time frame of WWE where everything was very
character-based,
driven. I don't know if that was the right character for someone to be able to become world champion, you know, in that
character. Yeah, it would be tough, yeah.
And that's unfortunate because he could work.
Yeah, he was really, he was a good hand. Yeah.
And he could do a lot in the ring. And I hate the fact that, like, he kind of got in that character that was kind of a character that would have been just kind of difficult to.
Yeah, that was the problem. You know, a lot of those characters handcuff people into, I mean, your ceiling was set.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and he had a good run with DiBiase.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that was a fun.
Yeah, that was a good little tag team, but there was a lot of gimmicks that were just this is as high as you're going to be able to go with that.
And yeah, seeing those two guys at WrestleMania and then seeing them, of course, at the Hall of Fame and stuff. I mean, is it? Do you, when you go to, like, WrestleMania stuff, is that what you enjoy? Maybe kind of more than anything, maybe, is kind of seeing some of the old guys that you used to work with. And
yeah, I definitely love seeing the guys, because you know, there's throughout, you know, as long as my career was, you know, I've got a lot of relationships.
Yeah.
And you just don't see the guys, and you don't talk to all the guys like you used to,
yeah,
like every day, so that when you do see them, you know, I mean, it's just it brings back a lot of fond memories and time, you know, you just start to meet, you know, as soon as you see somebody, you start to think, oh my gosh, I remember this that time when we did this or that happened and this. So that's always fun.
My buddy who came to, you know, WrestleMania for that one night, and he lives about an hour and a half away or whatever, 2 hours away, and met his new girlfriend. And he's like, hey man, you know, let's not bring up everything. He's like, let's just, you know, let's
start anew.
Let's get her feet wet before we dive into the early 20s military days and in the barracks and the craziness that we would do. He's like, I don't think she needs to know everything on the first day of meeting you. And and I've got he'll tell you, because he's got the memory. I've got the memory of everything. And Woody's like, I don't remember any of this stuff, you know? And
it's because you were unconscious for most of it.
For most of it, you were unconscious. So I think that is with anybody. I mean, being able to have that nostalgia of your buddies and everything. I think the thing is with pro wrestling, though, you guys are on the road for 250 days out of the year. That's your family, and your everything, you know?
Yeah.
And you're going to build these cliques kind of that are, you know, in the locker room, like a BSK or an actual clique or something. Was there any others that were, like, you got the BSK and you got the clique that I think everybody now knows about, but, like, was there any other, like, locker room facets, I guess we could call them, that,
like, factions?
Factions, I mean, not facets, but factions.
Not that I really know of. I can't remember any other, you know. Everybody else was just, you know.
Buddies, not.
Yeah, friends, but, yeah, they don't necessarily, I don't ever remember, you know, the East Side Boys or, you know. Yeah. But no, I don't remember any. No, it was And everybody, you know, for the most part, like, everybody showed up at the same places anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, yeah.
Okay, so who was in the clique? You had Nash.
So you had Nash, Sean. Razor, Sean, Triple H, X-Pac.
Was that it?
I think that was
the clique. I think that might have been all of the clique. And then, all right, I'm sitting here thinking, BSK versus the clique. What's the matchups here? You know, if you're going, if you're going to build a card based off of the two clique or the two.
All right, so you've got Yokozuna.
Yeah.
Godfather.
Yeah.
Rikishi.
Mm-hmm.
Bryan Adams.
Yourself.
Myself. You got the God ones.
And Vega.
Savio Vega. Fuji.
Fuji's going to be the manager.
Or dual manager, depending on whether Paul or not.
Yeah. All right, so if you're going to do a card here of who's against who, like, all right, you got Nash. Who would you put Nash against on BSK side?
I put Nash against Godfather or Yoko.
That'd be a good match.
So I'm going to work with Sean.
You're going to work with Sean. You already told it.
I'm working with Sean or Triple H. You know what? All those guys could work. Razor could work.
The clique, man, that's a Mount Rushmore.
Razor could work. Sean, Trips. I mean, they all could work.
God, that's who's funny. Razor going to work with against MBSK? What's that matchup look like? Is it Bryan Adams?
I guess, yeah. I don't know, man. I've never thought this in my entire life. I've never actually thought about booking a card.
With Click versus BSK?
Click versus BSK.
If you're going to work with Sean, Triple H.
I'm going to work with Sean and Triple H in a handicap match.
In a handicap match.
Yeah, and I'm going over.
And it's going to be for the Intercontinental Championship since you never got that.
Yeah, I never did. I don't even know if I ever even wrestled for it.
And then, okay, Yoko versus Diesel, man. That's a lot of weight in the ring and a lot of talent in the ring as well. Godfather versus...
I mean,
you got X-Pac sitting there. You got Razor sitting there. I think Razor versus Godfather?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the rest are going to be squash matches because we got nothing but monsters over there, man. I might have to give one guy up. I don't know.
The clique is nothing but Hall of Famers, too. That's the other problem you got. I mean, you got...
Yeah, well, wait a minute.
We're
well represented. We got Yoko, Rikishi, Godfather, me.
Oh, I'm forgetting about Rikishi. I mean... God, Rikishi could work, too, man.
Yeah. Hey, the Samoans, they come out of the womb...
Ready to wrestle.
That's just like some kind of special gene that they have. I don't know.
Yeah.
Come out taking a bump. And
I thought at some point during the main event at Mania that the entire family was just going to. So before the match, I don't know if you're able to see it, they were setting chairs up out during the women's championship match. They were setting chairs out up at the entrance for WrestleMania. And I was like, what in the world's going on? I honestly thought, and that was for like the orchestra or whatever for Roman's entrance.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that they were going to bring out like the entire like family and have them all sitting up there.
I don't think the stage was big enough for all of them. Holy hell.
I thought that that's what they were like initially doing. I thought they were putting chairs out there for the entire family.
If I had brought them out, then half of them would have had to hit the ring.
Oh, my God. There would have been itching.
A bit of melee.
Oh, Could you imagine? And even, I mean, God, they could have done something where you may win tonight, Cody, but you still got to walk back to this locker room.
You still got to go back up that ramp, right?
Cody never leaves the ring. He lives in Philadelphia. He's cutting a promo from Lincoln Financial the next night. I haven't left. They won't let me leave.
Man, that's crazy.
Or, I mean, do you just throw a Royal Rumble, BSK versus Click, and throw them in the ring together? I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's interesting booking there.
I think pound for pound outside of the ring, you guys have them no matter what.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. I mean, they had some big players over there, but Triple H isn't a drinker, though, is he?
No, he never drank.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. He was the babysitter.
Was there ever any, maybe early on, was there anybody like kind of raising an eye to him about the fact that he didn't drink?
I don't remember. I mean, he was always out.
And yeah.
He was, you know, he was always in the mix, but he just didn't drink. That wasn't his deal.
So. That's kind of like me. I'll still go out and hang out all night long. I'm just not a drinker. It's not my thing. I mean,
it's Happy Dad's.
Yeah. So, you know, I haven't even tried this yet. Gosh, I'm just not a drinker, but that wild cherry, son. It hits.
I told you, I had one of those earlier.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
How long have we been here?
We got stacked up over here.
I think we've gone far beyond our commitment here.
So, Happy Dad wanted us to have product placement. Maybe just mention them in an episode, and
anyway.
The lemon lime good?
Yeah, I like it. I like the lemon lime.
Have you ever drank hard seltzers before?
That's the first time I've ever had them.
Yeah.
Since I started drinking Happy Dad.
Well, they've, man, good for them. This is definitely something that, you know, the beer world has really changed a lot. Like, it Everything. Used to be, yeah. It was just like, you had Coors, you had Budweiser, but you didn't have the stuff that they have out now. Like, it seems, there's 8,000 beers if you walk into a liquor store.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I've now got IPAs and...
Yeah, all this stuff, right?
What's the other one? What's the fancy, the bougie IPA? Is the APA? No, wait a minute.
APA?
Wait, wait, what is that? Wait, no, that's not right.
You got India Pale Ale, and you got Argentina Pale Ale, APA, I don't know.
The Acolyte, like Protection Agency, that's what the APA was.
I don't think a bougie IPA is an APA.
Well, I don't know.
I don't.
I thought there was a different. There was another one, the fancier IPA.
I mean, okay, all right. So Dahlbeck here, American Pale Ale.
See?
There you go. All right. So it's
check out the big brains on the dead man.
A blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
See there?
So, yeah, the beer world and the alcohol world has changed a lot since the BSK was running the...
Yeah, well, there was only, you know, we had two drinks. We would drink Coors Light and chase it with Jack Daniels.
You would chase your Coors
with Jack, yeah.
You know, I have seen glimmers and just little bits of you from back in the day. It's very rare that you, if we go out these days, it's maybe a little bit of maybe a drink or two. Nothing.
No, nothing like it used to be.
No, nothing like it used to.
No,
and
no.
I do remember. Nashville, the bartender comes over and she's like, "So what do you drink?" And you're like, I like Coors Light and Jack Daniels. She goes, "Okay, everybody in this place wants to buy you a drink." And
That was during COVID. That was that was for what were we in Nashville for?
For the Luke Combs like golf tournament
golf
that he
tournament.
Does.
That's right.
And so we're up there for the golf tournament. And You had a good time. You didn't get out of hand by any means or nothing. You sat there on that picnic table. We had our little crew.
And I consumed quite a bit that night.
And Steve Ford, he called ahead, had you some security sitting there waiting on us. I mean, it was nice. It was perfect. Parking spot right in the front. It was great. But that place was full. I mean, COVID didn't exist in Franklin, Tennessee. No. Let me tell you something. And the funniest part of that whole night was the owner of Nine Line, Tyler, is there. And as these shots and beers are coming out, you're not necessarily taking every single one of them by any means, because there was a lot of them coming. Don't know if you remember, you were handing some shots to Tyler. Tyler doesn't drink whiskey and bourbon. So he drinks beers. That's what he drinks, right? So he's over there drinking beer. You'd hand him a shot. He feels obligated to take the shot with you. He takes the shot. He keeps doing this. It's the end of the night. The last shots come out. We're getting ready to leave. Tyler's sitting on this picnic table with you. And when I say they're sitting on a picnic table, they're literally sitting on where you would sit your plates. Feet are on the seat part.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there, the security guy's sitting to the side of you. Tyler's sitting to the other side of you. And I'm standing in front of Tyler talking to him. These shots come out. You hand it to him. Tyler takes the shot and it comes back. And it's one of those where he comes down and he didn't swallow it. And it's just he's just holding it in his mouth, staring me down. And I look at him and I go, "Don't you spit that shot out. Don't you spit. You swallow that shot." And he's just shaking his head, "No." And I go, "Swallow it. Swallow it. You are here with the Undertaker. You better swallow that shot." So he swallows the shot. It's like he has to throw his head back. And when his head comes back down, there's a tear going down his face. And he goes, "I just want to go home. I can't do this with him." And he's like, just take me home. We throw him in the back of that Suburban. He's on the floorboard. He's in bad shape. We go in. The lady's not at the front desk. We can't get in the hotel to save our life. I'm going to put this in quotations, knocking on the door.
Aggressively.
I thought you were going to break the door down of the hotel in Nashville. I was like, "Stop. Someone's going to come to this. She's probably using the restroom, guys. We're fine. We don't have to break these doors down." Tyler's screaming. You're beating on this door. And I'm like, guys, come
on. I think Tyler was falling into the door. Every time he tried to stand up, he was falling.
We walk in, and I remember you guys go over to the little snack area where they got all the chips and cookies and drinks. You literally get as much as you can in both arms. Walk by, you looked at the lady, and you just went, "Just put this on my room." She hasn't looked at what you got or anything. I think she essentially just said, $100.
It's every bit of $100.
Let's just put $100 on here. And we get up there. You drop a bag of chips. And you just look at the chips and you went, "It's not worth it." I was like, "I've got it." I just handed you your bag of chips. Golf the next day was fun. I remember telling you, I was like, text you. I said, "Hey, man, we're going to leave at 9 or we're going to leave at 8. But I'm ready now if you want to go ahead and leave." And it was 8:45 or 7:45. And you were like, "I'm going to need every bit of these last 15 minutes."
I had to regroup a little bit. I needed to regroup.
I mean, the BSK days of hitting the road hard. You're not in that shape anymore.
I'm not in condition for that.
Yeah.
That kind of pace anymore. I can't hang like I used to.
No.
Nor do I want to, actually.
No.
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 What's the old song? Hangovers hurt more than they used to.
Oh, something like that. Yeah. It's just, yeah, I don't know how. I've got buddies that still go out, and I'm like, no. I mean, I don't want to be going. I mean, for the Hall of Fame, I didn't want to go because it started at 10 p.m.
Oh, it's way past your bedtime, right?
I was like, dude. The one dead man show, we're back there in the green room after the show. Both of our wives are literally falling asleep on the couch, yawning. And it was 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we've outgrown those days.
I hope so.
Yeah. But they're fun. I mean,
no, I'm glad that I have all those memories, foggy as they might be, but you know, I mean, there's a lot of good times, but yeah, I don't need to. That one morning I woke up and my liver was sitting on my chest and it looked like a lava rock. I was like, man, I might need to hit the brakes a little bit on this drinking.
When did you decide to slow down? What was it?
You know what? I don't even remember. It was just like one day. I just stopped doing it. I think kind of as we all disbanded, you know, everybody would leave the territory and there was nobody left really but me.
And you talk about getting the bus and getting on the bus.
Yeah. No, it had stopped long before that.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Long before the bus. Yeah. It just lost its appeal and I just stopped drinking like that and carrying on. But I think probably the biggest reason is just because we weren't all together.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't fun, you know, with, you know, bringing in new people. Like we would go, you know, we'd go overseas and I would go to the hotel bar. And then, of course, everybody had heard the stories through the years. So people would want to, you know, they'd want to come in and drink. And every once in a while I'd hold court. But it just wasn't the same as it was. And so, it wasn't a conscious decision. It just happened. I evolved.
You just grew up. You just became mature.
Mature.
Yeah.
Mature.
And I think that's the other thing. I'm a social person. You know, so I love, the reason why I do love going to restaurants is the social aspect of restaurants. I love being able to sit down with friends and try new things. I enjoy smoking cigars with friends more than I do by myself. And that was my big thing with drinking. I would go out every single night and have a good time. It wasn't the craving of going and getting drunk. It was the craving of just hanging out with my boys.
Yeah, have a good time.
Yeah. And you got all the military guys. We'd all get together and go wherever and have a really good time and, you know, meet new friends. And that was fun.
Get bail money.
Amy didn't enjoy all of that. Enjoyed every time. So the buddy you met, you know, we one of the more famous stories of he and I was waking up on the beach in his truck with another buddy of ours, Dave.
Do you want to tell this story?
Everybody knows about this story. This story is a great story. So we wake up and I go, man, you know, guys, you know, we can't be parked on the beach at Tybee, and Tybee Island is right there in Savannah,
right
where I lived, where I live. I was like, guys, you know, it's illegal, and sun's coming up and everything. I was like, it's illegal to be out here, man. What? Why are we out at the beach? And they're like, no, man. Dave was like, well, we could park on the beach. Wood's in the bed of the truck asleep. And I was like, we can't park on the beach. I said, man, it's illegal. And he goes, no. You can park, you can drive on the beaches in Daytona. And I went,
in Daytona?
Yeah. I went, I said, excuse me? Yeah, you can drive on the beaches in Daytona. And I'm like, Dave, why are we in Daytona? He goes, Matt, you don't remember us coming to Daytona? He said, we drove to Daytona last night.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, bro.
Was that 6 hours? How was it?
No, it's four.
Four.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, you don't remember us? I was like, I remember being in the truck last night and us like driving around. I thought we were all just driving around drinking. And then I guess, did I pass out? He goes, oh, yeah, you passed out early on. I was like, okay. And yeah, man, woke up in Daytona.
Oh, that's fine. You can drive there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, Amy knew. They talked to Amy and Amy was completely okay with all of us going down to Daytona. She was fine with it. The other boys, significant others, were not. But Amy was really cool with it. And we went down, woke up, man, we went and bought some boogie boards and we hung out for the rest of the day.
Daytona.
Got sunburnt, went back the next day and we were in formation at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning. Ready to rock and roll. Mm. And apparently I was trying to convince them to go to New Orleans. I wanted us to drive to New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah. So I used to, that's what I would have get a couple of cocktails in me And I would have these bright ideas of, let's just drive to this place. We could drive all night long, go check this place out, and then turn around and drive back. I never thought about I should have sleep or I should be sober.
Yeah, those two things help a lot.
Yes.
In decision making.
So yeah. We would literally, I drove to West Virginia one night. I was living in an apartment right before I joined the military. And me and my buddy, we just drove to West Virginia on a Saturday night.
Hey, I hear West Virginia's really cool. Let's drive there.
I told him, I said, I've never been to West Virginia. We literally drove to West Virginia just out of the blue. Pouring down rain. I don't know why. Couple of cocktails and we decided to go do this. We were stupid. Absolutely yeah, stupid. Geez. And that was my thing. I tried
to go through the Blue Ridge.
Oh, driving right through the mountains. Yeah.
Yeah.
I live, 30 minutes from being right in the dead of the mountains. And we just decided to go through the Blue Ridge Mountains and head up towards West Virginia. All we were going to do is tag West Virginia, turn around and come back. That was literally what we were going to do. Mm. To say that we went to West Virginia. Just like you as a child, like, with your dad, it's like we've never been, we might not get a chance to go, apparently. I don't know why I thought of that.
I'm an adult, I can drive, I don't know why I'll never be able to have this opportunity.
I don't know. I mean, at that time, I hadn't left the end of the driveway, much less gone into other states, man. Very much. So, yeah, alcohol will make you do funny things, and
you need not drink.
These happy dads, though, are tasty.
Oh, well, I can tell. You're going through them pretty good there.
No.
You just got questions. Just you could ask some questions.
Yeah, I'll ask you a question or two. How about that? So we're coming off WrestleMania 40. One of your this is from Ben Hanrahan from Grimsby, UK. Hello to the both of you. I hope you're doing well. One of your matches that I feel doesn't get talked about enough is your feud with CM Punk for WrestleMania 29. Mostly because of the four-year story that came before it. I feel this is one of the best matches you had at Mania, and I always loved watching you and Punk together. Your matches in 2009 also being amazing to watch. My question is, given the sensitive story leading up to that Mania, how did you both and Paul Heyman approach it to honor the memory of Paul Bearer and make him the center of the story at the biggest match, at the biggest show of the year?
Oh, yeah, that was kind of a... everybody was a little, uptight about bringing that to me, thinking it might have been disrespectful or not. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? I said, Paul would love the fact that even after he's gone, that he's still part of the story and in such a vital, way. That was the year, obviously, I went and made the appearance at the Hall of Fame and came out and paid honor to him there. And they had, got their hands on the urn and all of those things. Yeah. I just knew Paul being Paul, he would love the just being still part of the involvement and being part of the angle. And I don't think that he would have felt like it was disrespectful in any manner. It was kind of cool. And, it was almost one of those deals that, you motivate yourself like, man, I really want to tear this down for him. And that was my motivation, because Paul would have loved to been in a situation where he was standing across from Paul Heyman, the dueling Pauls there. I'm very proud of that match. I thought it was I thought the match was really good. One of the things that stick out to me about that match is, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about my buddy David.
Yeah.
So there's a photo. I give David a lot of crap about his head being so big, right?
It's large.
It's a big melon, right? Well, there's a picture. So during the course of the match, I'm laid out on the table, and Punk does big elbow off the apron and, you know, cracks me in the chest. Well, there's an angle of a picture I can't, and you can see in the background, you can see David, you can see him. But the funny part is behind David, who sitting behind him is Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is trying to look around David's head to see. David doesn't cast shadows everywhere. He was beside himself. Like, they, you know.
Well, that's when you know you got juice, whenever you're able to get better seats than Donald Trump.
I'm just saying.
And even though Trump wasn't President Trump at the time, he's still a billionaire.
Yeah,
and he's still a pretty big name. And
after he became president, you remember that time? You know, I was sitting in front of Trump. Yeah, dude, I got you the tickets. Yeah, I remember.
Oh, man. So Trump was blinded by David's massive big head during the CM Punk match at WrestleMania. That's your memory of that match.
Yeah, well, it was a good match. No, it was a good match, but that just sticks out. I mean, you know, a lot of these topics like have been covered at nauseam, so I might as well bring something different to this.
The X's and O's have been covered.
Yeah, the X's and O's and the spots and all that's been covered.
Yeah.
But you know, my buddy whose head's big enough to sell advertisement on blocking out the future president of the United States where he can't see. That's good stuff.
If we brought him on here, we'd have to move all the products somewhere else.
There's no
way. Have to bring him out front.
Yeah, we could just take pictures of each thing and then put them on his head.
That's how we're going to do advertisements.
Big Tron head.
Yeah. To wrap this up, I mean, it's been fun. We kind of didn't really...
Did we do a show just now?
We did, and it was fun. I mean,
I just thought we drank.
Well, it was, you know, we were kind of... I think the opening talking about Happy Dad and talking about BSK and y'all's fun times and everything turned into an actual show. And I mean, I know that
that's talent, man.
I want, brother. You're seven times,
brother. Hey, we might be actual podcasters now.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's true.
We definitely need to start looking at booking some of those BSK guys and getting them over here and getting them on, because we could put Godfather on here and we have four episodes.
We're gonna have to take the alcohol out though. I'm saying he can bring his smoke train on. I don't care about that, but he ain't drinking on.
Yeah, we may. I don't know if the studio here is gonna be okay with Godfather
and his plume.
We're gonna get charged double for cleanup fee and everything else. It's gonna be an expensive guest.
Did you see Godfather?
I did. You know what? I didn't get to see anybody. They were all over at WrestleCon in Mania, and I almost went over there. We stayed at the hotels and everything were about a half mile away, and I thought about going over there one day, but I ended up not.
He is down to 245 pounds.
Good Lord. He's got to be feeling good then. And that's got to be so good for his knees and his hips and everything, because he was having some problems with those.
Yeah, yeah, he had his knee done, everything. But anyway, I didn't know if you had seen him yet.
No, I haven't. Yeah. He'll be in Savannah in a couple of weeks, and hopefully I can, you know, take him to dinner and, you know, be able to hang out with him and see him for a little bit.
It's crazy to think that I sent him a text when he sent me that text. He told me he was down to 245. I says, it's hard to believe that you were once 100 pounds heavier than you are at this right now.
Jeez.
It'll make all those metal joints last a lot longer.
Yeah, it will. So that's good for him, man. And you know, all the BSK guys, I mean, outside of Tex, they're all looking good.
You're gonna love that. You're gonna love that.
Man. They're all looking good.
Yeah, I don't know that we could. I don't know if we could bring them all in, man. That might have to be like a.
You gotta do one at a time. There's no. Yeah, I mean, it's a.
Yeah, that's too much. That's too much for one show.
First of all, I don't know if Michelle will allow all those guys to come into town together.
I'm pretty sure of that. That's a given.
Yeah. She would she may decide to go on a little mini vacation of her own just to
permanently. Especially when she listens to it. Yeah.
Well, man. This has been a fun one to talk about the old times and in those days and mentioning Barry Windham. I think I love, you know, the guys from that era especially, and you just kind of bringing that up during the panel.
Well, you know, it was a little somber, but I was trying to you know add just a little bit of levity, just a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, no. I'm so happy for those guys. Both of them deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. But so,
yeah.
Anyway,
they had the best shirt at the WWE shop as well for the Hall of Fame shirts too. It was like a throwback outline of the United States, and it looked like something from the 70s.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, 80s. Yeah. Yeah, it was a really cool looking shirt.
Oh, that is cool. Yeah. I'm glad. Good for them guys.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Yeah.
They needed a little bit of sunshine there, a little light on them.
Yeah, they definitely did. Another great episode. Thank you, Happy Dad. Thank you, Wally X. Thank you, First Form, for helping support this thing we call a podcast. Guys, if you want to get any 6 Feet Under merch that we're wearing, go over to 6feetundermerch.com.
That's what all the cool people are wearing.
That's what all the cool people are wearing.
That hat's pretty tight though, man.
It's gonna be on the website soon. We got pictures taken the other day.
Y'all order some bigger sizes
for David. I've already put in the order, a special order for you for big boys.
Big boy. Big boy heads.
You and David. Get a couple of hats for the big
you'd
boy
to,
heads.
You'd have to duct tape him one.
Well, let me tell you. Anyway. If you guys want to submit any questions to the dead man himself, go over to Patreon to 6 Feet Under with Mark Calloway to submit those questions. And if you're listening to this in your car, hit that follow button. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. But until next week.
That's it, man. That's all I got.
That's all I got.
My memory is toast.